Okay, are you recording? By the way, I am legally obligated to tell you that I am recording.
Okay, I'm recording. Fine. It's
We're
happening.
all
I'm
recording.
recording as
Great.
well. It's all happening.
Okay, great. Should we just start?
Sure.
Are your school days out of sight when you took English, art, and math? What's your favorite Fahrenheit? How sour are the grapes of wrath? Do you need a challenger or disgusting Salinger? Do you love the written word? What happened to the mockingbird? Our show is just beginning, so find a place to sit. These questions will be on the test. It's time for Sophomore Lit.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Sophomore Lit, the special Thanksgiving episode of Sophomore Lit, where we read not great works of literature, but great works of Americana. And with me again are my brothers, Rob and Dan. You want to say hi?
Hello.
Hi. Hello.
So this time, for the first time in a while, we aren't actually having Thanksgiving together. So we're actually doing this remotely, like everyone did everything the last 2 years. And I want to let everyone know I am not as drunk as I was in earlier years. We don't have any alcohol in the house except for like a half a bottle of vermouth. And some some triple sec left over from some margaritas, and I'm not dedicated enough to being drunk for this podcast to drink either vermouth or triple sec.
I've just started a glass of Zinfandel.
Oh well, la di da.
And I'm on cold medication, so
the good stuff.
Yeah.
On the plus side, we're all on our own microphones. And Rob, being the trooper he is, has bought his own microphone for this podcast. And Rob, we totally expect to see a podcast from you in the next month or so.
I have nothing interesting to say.
Don't you want to do a real crime podcast about Central Illinois?
Absolutely not. Missy might be interested, but I am not interested in real crime.
What about... Are you still interested in fake crime after your years as a
fake lawyer? Crime is better.
Yeah, more snakes involved.
Speaking of fake crime, this time for our readings, we are examining that great roadside phenomena of Americana, the Burma Shave sign.
Don't you mean Myanmar?
Which has been the subject of books, has been the subject of sociological examination, but until now has never been evaluated as literature.
Mm.
So we are breaking new ground here, talking about Burma Shave signs. So at this point in the podcast, I ask everyone what your history is with the books. So Dan and Rob, tell me your history with Burma Shave signs.
Well, go Dan. Go
no,
Dan.
I think there might is there's like a gag about them in A Christmas Story. Maybe is that what the movie is that I remember it from? I think I saw it in a movie and someone explained to me what Burma Shave was, and then I would occasionally hear mentions of it in like old time radio shows I listen to, and that's my history with Burma Shave.
Yeah, I think they ended in 1963, and although I am old, I'm not quite that old, although they were still maybe somewhat culturally relevant at the time. I was a young child.
The first time I ever heard of Burma Shave signs, I think, was in The People's Almanac, which I've mentioned before on this podcast, which was a big book of lies that was published in 1977 and was a huge bestseller and begat the Book of Lists and all kinds of crazy list books that were really popular in the days before the internet and BuzzFeed.
Hmm. They're to blame.
We still had a copy of People's Almanac kicking around the house when you were a kid, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know if I liked that one so much, but I did read the multiple, the different books of lists that were around the house over and over again.
Good bathroom reading.
Yeah. Not much to do in Eureka, Illinois, is what we're saying. Okay, so Burma Shave was, of course, the modern way to shave. It was the product of the Burma Vita company out of Minnesota, Burma Vita was a failed product that was supposed to be a rejuvenating salve named after Burma because apparently the ingredients in Burma Vita, which were cassia, camphor, and tea tree, Robert Odell, the guy who invented it, claimed they all came from Burma, which is doubtful. But although that was a failed product, someone had the idea of modifying the salve to make it into a brushless, latherless shaving cream that you could just squeeze onto your face and shave. So it was, while today it's a bit of American history, at the time it was seen as terribly modern. Now, you guys don't shave.
Well, there's, I mean, just because we have beards, there's maintenance shaving, but it, I have to admit that because it is sort of just keeping the edges straight and like eliminating neck hair, I often do it with just water. I don't bother with shave cream because it seems like a lot.
The same for me. Last time I shaved with shave cream was actually recently, though, because I had some travel shave cream for going out to Brooklyn and had it there handy, so I might as well use it. But that's about the last time I've used it in years.
Well, an exciting look into the shaving habits.
This has been beard talk.
So anyway, the first Burma Shave signs... And just so we're all clear, so everyone understands what they were a series of roadside signs, usually in six in number, that were very close to the edge of the road. They originally appeared on Highway 65 in Minnesota, and they would break up the little advertising slogan into six little chunks, and you would go by and you'd read them as you drove down the highway, and it would always end with Burma Shave as the last sign. And they were fantastically popular. And part of the reason they were fantastically popular is they came along just as the middle class was obtaining cars. And people had cars. There weren't the interstate highway system had not really gotten underway at this point. It wouldn't until after the war, and so there were lots of country roads and people would be driving down them, and you know their little 1920s cars, 1930s cars,
tin Lizzies,
Model T's. Model A's,
Model Q's.
I'm pretending I know anything about early American cars, but let's break these down because they did change over the years. The very first one that anyone has record of, I guess it's interesting. I've read that the first signs went up in 1926, but the first motto that I can find is from 1927. And it says, shave the modern way, break, no brush, break, no lather, break, no rubbin, break, big tube, 35 cents, drug stores, break, Burma Shave.
Yeah.
Not exactly catchy.
Well, they've got this rhythm going, and then they cram together two ideas on one sign. Toward the end there, like both the cost and where to find them. And big tube, 35 cents. And then there's like an M-dash, drugstores.
I find the use of the word break, you know, the signs dedicated to the word break, a little confusing. But
no, come on.
So it starts out very prosaically. I do think there's something kind of strangely... evocative about big tube, 35 cents, drugstores. It sort of doesn't. It's on the verge of not making sense. So I like that. In 1928, we get takes the H out of shave, makes it save, Saves complexion, saves time and money. No brush, no lather, Burma Shave.
Now, John, which H are they talking about here? It's a little, yeah, I'm a little obtuse maybe, or the non-rhyme is too confusing. What is
well, if you the take H if you take what removing? Dan, if you take the H out of shave, what do you get?
Oh, you get save. Yes. I see. See, I was too focused on the H. I thought that there was something represented by the H that was unpleasant about shaving that we were eliminating with this modern.
Well, it's also shaving as hell.
Yeah. But it says makes it save in the right afterwards. So I'm going to chalk this up to my cold, not understanding this perfectly explicable.
Well, you better get used to the stupid pun, because the Burma Shave people kept coming back to this year after year after year. Someone at Burma Shave was very proud of take the H out of shave. Okay, so in 29 we get our first rhymes, and so now we can actually start to evaluate. We can evaluate this as poetry. We have every shaver now can snore 6 more minutes than before by using Burma Shave.
Yeah, I don't know if I've used lather. Like in a brush, because I live in Brooklyn, and so of course, you know, I went through my phase where I'm like, maybe this is the superior way to shave, and I don't think that eliminating that is going to account for 6 more minutes of sleep time.
Obviously, not doing it right.
That's a lot of lather that you're generating.
Right. Also, you're just snoring with those 6 more minutes. It's not even good sleep.
Oh no. Yeah.
Okay, so we have your shaving brush has had its day, so why not shave the modern way with Burma Shave?
Okay.
That's the point.
Well, I want to point out again, this has a really good rhythm going on, but that with was a single sign. I think what happened was they ran out. They got the nice 4-line stanza, and then they realized they had 2 more signs to go.
Yeah, and they knew that if they had a 5-sign one, it would mess up the order. They had ordered it in multiples of 6, and the width is the problem in this one.
I think that this is another thing that keeps coming back again, is how hopelessly out of date brushes are, and how incredibly modern Burma Shave is. I think that's a particularly American sentiment, that we've got to shake off all the ingrownness of European decadence.
As represented by brushes.
Was there any blowback from the brush lobby? Or?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Again, as someone who is shaved with a brush, it's not that great. I don't know. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, maybe that time and tide have washed away that we should not have let go, but shaving with a brush... You know, you read these articles in for like men that to dandify yourself, and they try and sell you on this idea that like, using the brush is going to cause all the whiskers to stand up from the skin to make them easier to shave. I've not found that there's a this seems like the purest nonsense to me.
Out with the old, says Dan.
Well, in this case, it's a pleasant way. It's a pleasant thing to do, but you don't need to sit around brushing your face.
Well, so that is a vote for Burma Shave then.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 1930 we get cheer up face, the war is past, the H is out of shave at last, Burma Shave.
You know... No, I just want to. This is the war is. Wait, sorry. Which war is this?
I don't
which
know. Year? That's it's 1930. The
1930. The
so
war.
So I assume they're talking about. War. I think, assume they're talking World about war. World War One, but that's over like a decade before this.
Yeah, I mean, I think this was what confused me with the H, by the way, because I was like, I didn't notice the year, and it's like the war's patched, the H is out of there. And I was like, are they talking about Hitler in this Burma Shave ad? What does that have to do with shaving? But again, I'm on cold medicine, and I don't get word jokes.
Right. Well, there's no war going on, but there, you know, what is going on is the Great Depression in 1930. And they're telling people to cheer up because the war has passed. I think that's cold comfort if you're standing in bread mm-hmm. lines.
But you can save now.
You're talking the Spanish-American War.
Oh, yeah.
No, I meant the Spanish Civil
Spanish
War.
War.
Spanish
yeah.
Civil War, yeah. The Spanish-American War was much longer past.
But wasn't the Spanish Civil War still going on at this point?
I know. It doesn't work.
When was the Boer War? When was that?
You know, I studied the Boer War and I don't remember.
Are we talking about feral boars here?
We're talking about Mafeking.
Okay.
And the Transvaal, which has nothing to do with Burma Shave.
The only reason I know about the Boer War is a reference in a Scrooge McDuck comic. It looks like it happened in 1902. Or wait, no, it's 1899 to 1902. So they're not referring to that either.
Okay, enough South African history.
Yeah.
We also have shaving brushes. You'll soon see them on the shelf in some museum. Burma Shave.
Yeah, I like that one.
That's a good one.
You'll soon see him on the shelf at some museum. That's a
good rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a big thumbs up for that one. Now,
true poetry because it rhymes.
This next one is probably the most famous Burma Shave slogan. At least I've heard it quoted in several places. It goes, "Does your husband misbehave? Grunt and grumble. Rant and rave, shoot the brute some Burma Shave."
And so this is suggesting that the root of this husband's problems is maybe like a shaving rash from
when you have those whiskers stand on ends. Yeah. The rest of them stand on end.
I don't know what the misbehaving is here. This was worrying to me. This is a scene of domestic chaos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that sounds like a euphemism for, you know, stepping out on the wife, you know, sleeping around. But, again, I don't understand how Burma Shave is going to fix that problem. That seems more deeply rooted.
Yeah. Well, in 1931, we get, "No matter how you slice it, it's still your face. Be humane. Use Burma Shave."
Hmm. It seems like a step backwards here.
Well, it's very mordant, you know. It's a very...
very gory.
I know that the Burma Shave Company had an annual contest where people would send in these things. Maybe this was a winner.
Yeah.
I think they would want to stay away from Slice It, even with associated with their product.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fine sort of like a dark joke, but... I think they want to stick with the rhymes. When you're in a car, you're excited to see what, you know, how it's going to rhyme. I think that's part of the appeal that I'm imagining driving in a car, seeing these one by one.
Right. Right. It was either that or count the horses. As you go past. You lose them all if you see a graveyard. I think in 1932, maybe they thought the better of it, because here we have a shave that's real, no cuts to heal, a soothing velvet afterfeel, Burma Shave.
Yeah. No, I mean, what more do I want out of life than a soothing velvet afterfeel?
I think this is got a kind of a complicated rhyme scheme for a Burma Shave. A B B C B. It's pretty slick.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't seem very impressed by that. Well, try and write a Burma Shave
rating.
He's still thinking
Burma
about
Shave.
That soothing velvet afterfeel.
Yeah, it transported me to another land. I was having a Homer Simpson like fantasy.
The land of the velvet.
Floating on velvet.
Okay. 1935. Train approaching. Whistle squealing. Stop. Avoid that rundown feeling. Burma Shave. I think this was the first of many road safety slogans, which is ironic when you think about it, because what could be less safe than leaning your head out of the car to try to read Burma Shave signs?
See, thank you, John, that I... No, it's just like, I mean, again, I'm in a haze, but that context... unlocked the poem for me. Train approaching, whistle squealing, stop, avoid that rundown feeling. Because, you know, without the context of it being a safety thing, and then remembering, oh, of course, these would all be like, you're in a car, you're approaching a train junction. Like, in my head, I'm just, you know, I live in New York, so train approaching, whistle squealing, I'm imagining someone commuting to work on a train, and it says stop, avoid that rundown feeling, and I'm like, what about Burma Shave? Would I miss the pun? So I'm like, why is... But you presented the key.
Well, see, context is important with these things. Yeah. You know, you approach, everyone approaches literature at the place they are, but it is useful sometimes to learn a bit of context. Here's another safety one from 35. Keep well to the right of the oncoming car. Get your close shaves from the half-pound jar. Burma Shave.
Half pound of Burma
really
Shave in a jar.
Really expanded since the 35-cent tube.
That's a lot of... Yeah.
You know, I think if you bought a half-pound jar in 1935, you'd probably still have some left today.
Now, what's the product that where just a dab will do you?
Oh yeah, that's
Dippity Doo.
Dippity Doo. Something. Is it Brill cream? I don't.
Apparently, you need a lot more Burma Shave if you get a half-pound jar.
Right. Okay. Now, in 1937, we get the Burma girls in Mandalay dunk bearded lovers in the bay who don't use Burma Shave. Now, this is, of course, a reference to the Kipling Ollie Speaks song, Road to Mandalay, which is a terrible song, but it's also a great song. Among other things, it talks about the sun coming out like thunder over China across the bay. Just so everyone is clear on this, Mandalay is completely landlocked. It's about 20, 30 miles from the shore.
What strikes me about this is the Burma girls in Mandalay drunk bearded lovers in the bay who don't use Burma Shave. Like, I think that they're being deliberately oblique here to not offend bearded people, to say that if you do use Burma Shave to you know, like, straighten up your edges to for maintenance, then that's still fine. The girls in Mandalay will not dunk you in the bay.
Would there be anyone with a beard in 1937?
Yeah, there were lots of beards in 1937. At least all the antagonists in Charlie Chaplin films had beards.
Yeah, and very waxed mustaches.
I'm interested in this one specifically because of the reference to Burma and colonialism. Burma Shave, never forget, is a kind of an orientalizing product here.
Yeah.
Okay, so in 1939, we get "Hardly a Driver Is Now Alive Who Passed on Hills at 75. Burma Shave."
A chilling reminder from Burma Shave.
That is a little morbid.
Right. Well, it's also a reference here to the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Was a poem that our dad would quote to me all the time. I don't know if he quoted it to you guys all the time. It used to drive me nuts. He would always say, "Listen, my children, and you shall hear of the Midnight Ride of Paul Revere, the 18th of April in 75. Barely a man is now alive who remembers that famous day and year," which I'm probably misremembering, but that's the way Dad would say it to me. And he never expounded on that. He never went past that. It was just, he would say that and would hang in the air, and then he'd walk off.
Well, you never took its lesson, obviously, John. You never found the key to unlock that part, that bit of verse.
I forgot to remember it, just like I forgot to remember the 5th of November this year.
I don't recall Dad doing that. He must have outgrown it by the time I was around.
He improved some.
Did he still make references to "She Who Must Be Obeyed"?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, it's a Rumpel thing.
Okay, so in 39 still, we have "Past Schoolhouses, Take It Slow, Let the Little Shavers Grow, Burma Shave."
I read this one and I looked up the etymology of little shavers because I was wondering, like, that's not a common idiom, but it's one I'd heard, and I wondered if there's any possibility it started here, but it goes back to the 1600s, and it refers to shaving of facial hair specifically. It's not like, I don't know, wood shavings or something else. It's the etymology is shaving related. Wow.
The 1600s, like in colonial Massachusetts or something like that?
I don't know. I think big shavers goes back like an additional 100 years, I remember. But little shavers, it took them 100 years to come around to that usage to figure that one out.
The past is another country. So we also have, here's another safety one. "Don't take a curve at 60 per. We hate to lose a customer. Burma Shave."
Bracing honesty.
I you know, 39, I'm trying to imagine how fast cars could go. And, you know, the other thing that this makes me think is our grandfather Cox, God love him, my mom's dad, used to drive like a maniac, like an absolute maniac. And Rob, you know, there was like the one time that you and your roommate were in the car with him and he got pulled over by the police officer who said, "Do you have any idea how fast you were going?" And he said, "No, sir, I do not."
I never saw my roommate so white.
So
that trip in the car with Grandpa.
But I think I get this feeling that back in the day, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was mere anarchy out there.
No, I think that probably was the bigger issue than the fact the velocity of the cars.
I'm sure the roads were a little rough too before the interstates.
Yeah.
Right. So in 39, there was a kind of an interesting break in the middle of all this where Burma Shave briefly did one sign campaigns. I guess that these were like lines that were being held on to around the office. They just couldn't work them into a six sign thing. They had, some of them were okay, I guess. I like the one that says, "A word to the wives is sufficient," or "Pays dividends and lady friends."
Like "Romance never starts from scratch." That's
good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think these are not as charming.
So 1940, on the eve of America's entry into World War II. We have he married Grace with scratchy face. He only got one day of grace. Burma shave.
Now, I understand there's a pun here on the word grace, but I still object to the rhyming grace with itself.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you know, Come Sail Away by Styx, when they rhyme aboard with on board. It just doesn't satisfy.
Yeah.
In 40, we also get with glamour girls, you'll never click, be whiskered like a Bolshevik, Burma shave. Now this is timely.
Yeah. Political satire.
I also like the bewhiskered as a single thing. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose at the time it would seem less out of date to say something like bewhiskered.
So when we actually do get into the war, 1942, there's this this one, let's make Hitler and Hirohito feel as bad as old Benito. Buy defense bonds. Burma shave.
Yeah, they got lucky with that rhyme there.
You know, I was looking up what was going on with Mussolini in 42. He hadn't yet been completely deposed, but he was he'd suffered some military defeats, I guess. I'm curious to know what they were making reference to here when they say feel as bad as old Benito.
Had that been Africa or Ethiopia or I don't know.
Yeah, the rhyme was too good for them to wait for him to be out.
They're prescient. They knew what was coming for him.
They read the tea leaves. They saw what was happening.
Okay, so now we enter into the post-war era. In 1952, we have heaven's latest neophyte, signaled left, then turned right. Burma shave.
Another sad story.
I find this one puzzles me. Yeah. I mean, you know, you could understand people taking curves at 60 per or not looking out for the train. Why would anyone signal left and then turn right?
Yeah. This is not, I mean, it's been a long time since I've driven with any regularity, but this is not a common mistake, I think. Like, it is your muscle memory is to move the lever in the direction that you're signaling.
I think I've seen it on I-74 a few times.
Yeah.
But also, a right turn is not the dangerous turn.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's get Faulkner to rewrite this
rhyme over reality.
This sounds to me like the guy wanted to crash.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the richness of this poem. It's a subtext.
It contains universes. 1955. Now, and we're getting to the end here. Dinah doesn't treat him right, but if he'd shave, dynamite! Exclamation point. Burma shave.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Get on with Dinah.
Yeah. What do you think? Yeah, Rob, as a bearded man, are you upset at Dinah for her?
Tastes differ. I guess I've had more luck with a beard, but.
Yeah, no, that's fair. People can have their preferences as they see fit.
You know, Dinah has expressed her preference, and.
Yeah.
I do hear that Dinah gets around.
Listen, we don't shame on this podcast.
Someone was in the kitchen with her. I don't know who. Accounts vary.
I also want to point out that dynamite is spelled D-Y-N-A hyphen M-I-T-E.
And it's not spelled dynamite like good times.
Well, that if they had just lasted on into the 70s.
It could happen.
And so their last slogan ever in 1963, sadly, was a repeat of a slogan they'd used in 1953. But we should end on it because it is the last one. Our fortune is your shaven face. It's our best advertising space. Burma Shave.
You know, it's a nice sentiment. Read out loud, I think advertising space, the meter is messed up a little bit on this one. But good job, Burma Shave. I don't know what to say.
I don't know, though, but you know, if you see a shaven face, why do you assume that they'll know what product they use to get that way?
That's true. You would have to, you know, have a shaven face and then be wearing a Burma Shave t-shirt or something.
Yeah. Well, you know, Burma Shave was kind of in the end, this whole campaign was a victim of the highway system as billboards got bigger and farther back from the road because cars were going by faster. You couldn't actually read little signs put up in close to the edge of the road. You'd pass them too fast. So it does give you pause to think about all those things that sort of come along at just the right moment and then leave. You know, when something else comes along, you know, it makes you think of, you remember Zip Drives, you know, right there, like 1999, they were the hottest thing. Like you could put 100 megabytes on one of those things. And within like 2 years, they were supplanted by USB drives.
I heard that and read that explanation about the demise of Burma Shave signs, but here in Central Illinois, we still have signs like Burma Shave for GunSaveLife.com, which it always bothered me because it should be GunSaveLives.com, but it's GunSaveLife.com.
Well, they knew that would be a lie, so they have to,
and, for legal reasons. As you can guess, it's some Second Amendment propaganda, but they still have the Burma Shave type rhyming signs of 5 or 6 in a row, and you can read them going down the highway. At least if you're in the passenger. If you're the driver, probably not a good idea.
I think the attraction there is those are signs that they can just stick up in the middle of the night and don't have to pay anyone anything.
Yeah.
So what have we learned here?
I don't... have we? Must we? I don't... Not everything's about learning. It's a nice trip down... as you say, like this kind of weird cul-de-sac of advertising.
We've learned that poetry must rhyme. We've learned a little bit about the preferences of Dinah.
Yeah. Well, think about this. These are dying out just as Don Draper is coming onto the scene. And he's that's where advertising is going to go. It's going to go to that slick Madison Avenue, ironic, clean line. It loses all its folksy charm.
That's what I need. More folksy charm.
Well, everyone needs a little folksy
charm. Everyone needs a little folksy charm.
Especially at Thanksgiving. And it is Thanksgiving. Or actually, it will be Thanksgiving when we release this.
Perfect.
I miss you guys. I wish you were here. But at least you've dodged another vegetarian Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
I miss you too.
I miss you. We will be thinking of you as we'd already meet.
Okay, that's it. Bye bye, guys. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Well, that worked.
Are you sure?
I don't know.